World Sports from the BBC with Seth Bennett. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, Chelsea needed extra time, but they're through to the Champions League quarterfinals.
Ivanovic scores! Ivanovic is there! A belting shot into the back of the Napoli net! That could be the goal that does it and sends Chelsea through into the quarterfinals.
And Chelsea are joined by Real Madrid in the last eight. And in tennis, Novak Djokovic struggled, but he's through to the next round at Indian Wells. But we start with football, and it was quite a night for Chelsea, who reversed a 3-1 deficit to beat Napoli and progressed to the Champions League quarter-finals. On the night, it finished 4-1 to the London club. They go through 5-4 on aggregate, as the BBC's John Murray reports.
They'll talk about this night at Stamford Bridge for years to come, and the Chelsea old guard were instrumental in it. After not the most convincing of opening periods, first Didier Drogba headed Chelsea in front, and from then on it was a pulsating drama. John Terry headed their second just after half-time, edging them ahead in the tie. Not for long though, as Inler shot in for Napoli to restore their aggregate lead. It was Frank Lampard who stepped up next, driving in a penalty to send it into extra time, where Branislav Ivanovic thumped in the decisive goal that sent Chelsea through against the odds.
Real Madrid are also through to the last eight after a comfortable 4-1 win over CSKA Moscow at the Bernabeu. That's 5-2 it finished on aggregate, as Hugh Ferris reports.
Well, if Jose Mourinho's job was under threat if his side lost, there was certainly no sign of it at the Bernabeu. Real Madrid romped home against CSKA, experiencing none of the difficulties of the first leg in Moscow. Cristiano Ronaldo scored that night and got two more in Madrid to add to Gonzalo Higuain's early strike and one from Karim Benzema. In between came the Russians' consolation and the best goal of the night from Zoran Tosic. But it's Real who complete the Champions League quarter-final lineup. They're through to Friday's draw, along with rivals Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Apoel Nicosia, Milan, Marseille, Benfica, and of course Chelsea.
The Manchester City manager Roberto Mancini says there's a chance Carlos Tevez could make a first team return against Chelsea in the Premier League next week. The striker has played two reserve team games after 4 months away from the club, and the City midfielder Nigel de Jong would be happy to welcome him back.
Everybody knows his qualities. Nobody ever doubted his qualities. It was just the fact of him having some difficulties with the club. But in the group and as a player, he never changed. I think the qualities that he has is always an asset for every team, and also for us at this stage.
And City are preparing for their Europa League last 16 second leg tie against Sporting Lisbon on Thursday. The Portuguese outfit lead by a goal to nil from the first match. Sir Alex Ferguson has confirmed Manchester United signing, Dimitar Berbatov, could end up leaving Old Trafford in the summer. The Bulgarian striker has had limited first team opportunities this season, and the United boss says he might have no choice but to let him go.
We've taken up the option on his contract, but having had chats with him and understand that he wants to get first team football, which is something we need to consider at the end of the season. But in the meantime, he remains at United. I think his concern is not enough first team football, and his age at 31 years of age is, I think he's looking to have first team football, and it's difficult for me to guarantee that, so it could lead to him looking elsewhere.
One of England's most prominent football administrators has accused FIFA and UEFA of stealing the game from the English. The Premier League chairman, Sir Dave Richards, has since apologised for any offence caused by his comments, claiming they were intended to be light-hearted. But as sports news correspondent Dan Rowan explains, that will do little to improve England's reputation in world football.
Highly embarrassing, those comments. He'll have to explain himself, no doubt, in the coming days. At a time, let's not forget, when the English FA and English football generally are desperately trying to repair relations with the rest of the football family internationally, given what's happened in recent times, the failure of the England World Cup bid, the row with Sepp Blatter last year, of course. But his day's taken an even more bizarre twist, a turn for the worse. It appears, it's been confirmed to me, in fact, now by the Premier League, that after that speech that he gave, he in fact fell into a hotel swimming pool out in Doha, fully clothed. It appears he had to be rescued, pulled out of the pool by the Bolton chairman, Philip Gartside. An extraordinary day. You really couldn't make it up.
Tennis and the latest from the ATP Masters at Indian Wells in California, and there have already been wins for Victoria Azarenka and Novak Djokovic. The BBC's tennis correspondent, Jonathan Overend, is there. And Jonathan, for the second match running, Novak Djokovic didn't have it all his own way.
No, that's right. He was taken to three sets by Pablo Andujar of Spain, but it was a very good start from Djokovic. This is what was so confusing about the match, because he won the first seven games. 6-love the first set, 27 minutes. Early break in the second, but then Andujar pegged him back, won the second set on a tiebreak, and the early exchanges in the third set were close as well, before Djokovic pulled away to win it 6-2. Rafa Nadal has just joined him as well in the next round in the last few moments. 6-3, 6-2, his victory over Alexander Dolgopolov. Nicolas Almagro put out Thomas Berdych surprisingly comfortably, 6-4, 6-love, while David Nalbandian has knocked out Joe Wilfried Tsonga. A comeback victory for Nalbandian, 6-3 in the deciding set.
Still to come, Roger Federer then. Have we had any further word? His family were ill, weren't they, with this virus?
Yes, they were, and we understand he wasn't at 100% last night, even though he played very well to put out Milos Raonic, the big serving newcomer from Canada. So we'll follow Federer closely shortly against Thomas Bellucci of Brazil. And you mentioned Victoria Azarenka. I've just been speaking to her, in fact, the world number one from Belarus. What a performance today. One of her best performances of the year. She's unbeaten this year, so there are plenty of good performances to choose from, but this was right up there. 6-love, 6-2. It was looking for a long time like it was going to be a double bagel victory before a late rally from her opponent Agnieszka Radwanska, who I should say is the world number 5, but took a thumping beating tonight.
Jonathan Overend, thank you. To cricket, and rain ruined South Africa's chances of becoming world's number one test team after a washout on the final day of their first test in New Zealand prevented the whitewash the tourists needed to overtake England in the rankings. It's day one of the second test in Hamilton, where Brian Waddell is there for the BBC. Brian, still plenty to play for, though, for both sides.
Most definitely, the South Africans, of course, are looking to position themselves for a challenge at that number one spot when they tour England later in the year. And New Zealand have the chance, too, to improve their rankings with a good performance at home. And New Zealand constantly looking to try and upskill their test match game. They've gone to lunch, steady first session, 62 for the loss of two, with Nicol out for 2 and Guptill out for 22. McCullum and Taylor there at lunch. McCullum 26, Taylor 11. The key batsman for New Zealand are concerned just before lunch, though, when McCullum was hit on the fingers and was bruised rather severely by a delivery from Mornay Morkel. 62 for 2 at lunch. New Zealand sent into bat by South Africa.
And Brian, is the ball doing a little bit slow scoring right there?
Yes, it is a slow scoring rate. No, the ball's not doing too much, but I think it's just the slow nature of the pitch and the even pace of it. Many expected it to be quite helpful to the pace bowlers with the amount of green grass that was on it, but it really has been quite benign and very difficult to score against this tight attack.
Brian, thank you. Now, the British boxer Derek Chisora has had his boxing licence withdrawn indefinitely by the British Boxing Board of Control. It follows his behaviour in the lead-up to his fight with Vitali Klitschko in Munich last month, after which he brawled with the former world heavyweight champion David Haye during a press conference. The Zimbabwe-born fighter's promoter Frank Warren gave this reaction.
I was happy with certain aspects of it, and I was unhappy with other aspects of it, but the fact of that matter is, slapping someone and spitting water is not an acceptable situation. Do not accept for 1 minute that what happened after the fight was Derek's responsibility. He didn't throw the first punch, he did not, and we've demonstrated that and proven that. But I think some of the things that Derek got involved in the past has caused the board to make this decision.
A recap of your top story: Real Madrid and Chelsea are through to the quarterfinals.